Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Alive, bursting with energy, bridging all gaps, bursting with all the light of light, enthusiasm unbounded. What am I describing? I wish that energy was here. The church. The church of Jesus Christ, at least according to St. Luke in Acts. How does he describe today what Karen read on Pentecost? Fire, enthusiasm, energy, wind, power. Communications were made open to all kinds of people from different cultures, languages, theologies, colors of skin, different folkways and mores, people of all nationalities coming together as one. The Tower of Babel, where the languages of the people were confused, is being reversed. And now we're coming together. And there's bridges being built. And communications are happening. And new possibilities are seen. And the truth, the Holy Spirit gives the whole truth. Experience was from the heart of Jesus. From the heart of the very beginning of his ministry of the gospel. In fact, St. Paul picks up on this. One of his letters is a hymn that goes back, many scholars believe, to Jesus. Maybe Jesus even said this at first. For you are all children of God in the Spirit. There is no Jew nor Greek, no ethnic divisions. That's all man-made. There is no slave or free, no class or economic divisions. That's all man-made. There is no male or female, no gender differences. It's all man-made. For you are all one in the Spirit. You are all one in the Spirit. Like Jesus prayed last week, may they be one, Father, as we are one. You and me, I and you, we and them. Now, does that describe the church? Is that your experience when you come here and go to a church? Our congregation? Any church in the U.S.? Or is something missing? If so, what is missing? Well, it's not sincerity. I know you. You're very sincere people. I know people in many churches. They're very sincere. It's not intellect. We have the best trained pastors in the church, the Lutheran church. We have people here that know their catechism. They are very well educated. Is it financial resources? No. I mean, at times we struggle, but when there's a need, the people's hearts are touched by the Spirit and they give. We have the resources financially to do wonderful things through this church and beyond this church. Yet, as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King once said, Sunday morning worship is one of the most segregated hours in America. We have the resources. We have the gifts. We have the Holy Spirit. Where's the will? Where's the will? Let the Spirit do her work in you and me. Today is Pentecost. Next week is Holy Trinity Sunday. And we know the sacred name of God, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Today, Hudson was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He became a Christian. We are all Christians. And today, we receive the Holy Spirit that helps us not only talk the talk, but walk the talk and walk the walk. People today, especially young people, tend to get turned off by a too heady of a faith, or people that say one thing in church but do another thing in the supermarket, people that are too rational, or if you get questions like, where are you going to spend eternity? That doesn't quite cut it. That doesn't quite cut it, these kind of threats. They're turned off by hypocrisy. They want to see that your heart and your words and your actions all go together. There's a consonance, there's a harmony there. They want a holistic presentation of the gospel that touches the intellect, yes, but also touches the heart and the soul. So the Spirit works through you and touches your imaginations and your emotion and your heart, and to try to see things in the power of the Spirit like God sees things, with eyes that are enlightened, which a heart is enlightened. This is what today is about. We need to open to the Holy Spirit again and be carried where the Holy Spirit blows. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, blows where it will. And we hear the sound of it, but we know from whether it comes or whether it goes. There's a spontaneity, like Don was talking about today, and I didn't hear anybody speaking in tongues, but I heard some Latin out there. I mean, there's that spontaneity and love in the Holy Spirit. You know, what's the fastest growing church in America right now? Not the mainline denominations. It's the Pentecostals. Pentecostals, where they really are in touch with the Spirit. You go to a Pentecostal church and you start waving your arms and stuff. By the time you come out of there, you're exhausted. I mean, you know you worship because the Spirit's moving. And people, and when I'm preaching, they don't sit there. They say, "Preach it, preacher. Let's hear it, preacher. Amen, preacher." You know, that's kind of fun. Lutherans tend to be sometimes a frozen chosen. You know, they got to get that Spirit going in you. The religion. Amen. Okay. The problem is I'll go for another half hour then. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, they saw in Jesus something that scared the heck out of them. Because they had all the rules and regulations. They had it all figured out. And they needed this because they were conquered by Rome. They needed to keep their identity. But Jesus kind of made things different. He didn't call God Almighty. He called him Abba, Daddy. And he treated people with love. And he treated prostitutes and tax collectors and even Romans with respect and love, because he saw them all as children of God. And his disciples started to catch this vision, this metanoia, this opening up of the heart and mind and soul to start seeing things as God sees things. And it scared the heck out of them. And they wanted to stop it. See, a lightning bolt hit the earth in Jesus Christ. The way God wanted things done. And it wasn't just now praying to God and getting inspired by God, but they saw flesh and blood. Jesus Christ was showing them what God's all about. Philip still didn't get it today. But Jesus Christ is God's word made alive for us. And the wind of the Spirit fanned the flames of the movement. And that movement spread as more and more people started to follow Jesus. And it was scary. There's a movement taking place. So religious leaders, as all political religious leaders try to do, through violence and through power, they try to shut them down. So they crucified them. But you know what God said? Ha, 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 ha. That's not going to do it, folks. And he raised Jesus from the dead. Not only did he raise Jesus from the dead, but the heart of Jesus. I mean, Jesus, when he was preaching, he was like in Galilee, or he was here. But now the Spirit is all over the world. You can't stop the Spirit. It's alive. It's like a wildfire that exists and went beyond Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth, till it comes here today. And the world was turned upside down. And people say, "Oh my goodness, these Christians are something to it." In fact, the Holy Roman Empire became Christian. Before, the Christians were being persecuted and put into the Colosseums and burned at the stake, but now they became Christian. There's a power there. Peter and the other apostles were so swept up in that fire that they were consumed with a passion to tell others the good news that changed their lives. Not to repent, but to metanoia, to have the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit, to see things in a new, evolved level of seeing. God's level, to look and see that we're all one. All creation works together in God's love in ways that others couldn't see it. To tell the good news that changed their lives. They wanted others to know that God, in his great love for all of creation, had sent his only Son, that we, by grace through faith, might be set free from the power of sin and death and be a new people, a free people, a spontaneous people. And there were struggles. There was pain. The Jews thought, "Hey, should we let these Greeks in? Shouldn't there be some rules and regulations here? You know, slave or free, you know, they'd get together for the Eucharist, and the rich people would get there early and eat all the food and drink all the wine, and the poor people would get there later and wouldn't have anything. And Paul was upset about that when he wrote to the Corinthians. No male or female, they're still in the church where a female cannot be a pastor. A female cannot be the Pope. That doesn't go back to Jesus. That's not of Jesus. The Spirit is still blowing, and the fire is burning, and we see many changes these days that the church is open to the new possibilities in attempting to fan the fires of the Holy Spirit. Now, my 43 years of ministry, a lot has changed. I've experienced 4 hymnals. I wish we were back at the green hymnal. The print was bigger. Preaching styles have changed. Sometimes there's PowerPoints now and all that kind of stuff. And during the pandemic, we learned a new word, Zoom. We don't have that here, but thanks to Don and John Hutton, we are online. And I hope we got last week's on free. Ellen, let me know. We'll find out. Because Ellen had cataract surgery. She couldn't be. But you're looking better. Your eyes look beautiful today. So you see, for a time in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, when I was growing up, the church was pretty stable, and it was growing, and most, you know, to be an American meant going to church, but that changed. Today, the world is changing fast. New technology is changing new so fast. We need to discern where the Holy Spirit is leading. Where's the fire? Where's the need in the world? Where's the obvious needs? And where, when politicians and people don't change things for the better, where does the church need to step in? Was a life-giving power of God to plug into the here at St. Paul's. Now, as we come out of this pandemic, and I hope we come out soon so we don't have to worry about it, we see a need to pray where God is leading us. How can we better minister in North Park and the North Hills of Pittsburgh and ways we're doing some wonderful things now, but how can we even grow that ministry? It's an exciting time to be the church. It's a scary time to be the church. And it's a changing time to be the church. At the same time, we have the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit's with us. The intimate love and heart of Jesus Christ is with us and in us. And it's the Spirit of Christ who points to Christ that the Spirit is here. As we read our Bibles, you find in the book of Acts that it does not regard Pentecost as a one-shot deal. The whole book is showing, it should be really called the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's blowing through all of Acts. And the Holy Spirit sets directions for the disciples. It opens doors. It forms communities. It draws people together. It heals in Jesus' name. And read the book of Acts. It's an amazing book. The Spirit continues to push believers to new horizons, sometimes kicking and screaming, but to new ventures they never dreamed of. And this gives us deeper insights. But also, when things aren't the way of the kingdom of God, we get upset then. We can't just forget about it and get numb to it and push it to the side. The Spirit opens the Jewish believers in Jerusalem to open to Gentile believers. And they did struggle with that. There was the Jerusalem Council and said, well, do we have to have any? Well, yeah, you have to have certain things, but mostly you have freedom in Christ that they don't have to be circumcised. A lot of Gentiles appreciated that because that's not a fun thing to have when you're an adult. And this is a radical change for the early church. And the Spirit is still making radical changes today as we continue to mature in the faith. As the Holy Spirit opens us to have God sightings during the week and to see God working in our lives. And the Word of God continues to be our strength and show us how to honor God's Word and honor God's creation and honor all people and to love and honor everyone. The church continues to be on fire for the Lord and for mission as the Holy Spirit inspires you and me and puts a fire in your heart, a fire in your belly to proclaim the good news, to be the good news. The average Lutheran shares about Jesus Christ on the average once every 25 years. We can do better than that. We can do once every 12 years. I mean, but talk to somebody about Jesus. Why you go to church? In the power of the Holy Spirit, you will know that Jesus is with you every step of the way. He loves you. Not only that, you know, he likes you. He's crazy about you. He made you for heaven's sake. And he wants the world that God made to be the way God wants it. To let the Spirit blow through you. To let God's Spirit set you on fire with the love as he did with Hudson today. And his mom and dad coming all the way from Virginia today so he could be baptized with the family has a tradition in this church. Until our focus, our commitment, our spirit is inflamed to help with make this world a place where it's safe for Hudson and JJ and little kids to go to school, for you to go shopping, for you to go to a concert and not worry about it, where there's safe and sane laws like they have in Ireland, in England, in Wales, in Germany, in France, in Italy, in New Zealand, in Japan, in Australia. And they don't have that same kind of violence we have. To vote and to be involved. Then in the power of Jesus, we will do the things that Jesus does in ever greater works, where life is supported. And we will expand, experience being one in the Spirit. There's no longer Greek nor Jew. There's no longer slave nor free. Well, there's no longer male or female, but we're one in the Spirit. This is the reality, the kingdom that Hudson was baptized into, born into again today. And that's the kingdom, that's the reality that we are called to do, to make God's will be done on earth as in heaven, in the power of the Spirit through us. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.